You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Today, I think it's very appropriate for us to be able to end with that I decided to go, because there is a reaction where we physically have to get up and do something. And my hope is that when we leave this place, that we just don't necessarily go about our Sundays, the typical Sundays, whether it's just, you know, going out to eat or going home or getting whatever needs to get done, that we would be changed. That we would leave this place and there's probably something that is you're really going to be wrestling with, that you're deciding what that looks like for you, what that looks like for us as a church as we move forward, as we continue to be able to share a story. I've shared with you before, I've shared with our students before, when we look at the book of Revelations at the very end times, and it talked about defeating the enemy, and they defeated enemy, Satan himself, by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus, and the word of their testimony, which is the story. And so we've been focusing on that and talking about that. And each and every week, we've showed this quote from Craig Groeschel, and he says this, and it kind of sums up everything, that the decisions that you make today determine the stories that you will tell tomorrow. All right? The good, the bad, and even the ugly. All right? And some of you, and maybe you would, again, 5 years from now, and you'll look back and just like, wow, like, I can't believe this happened. Or, wow, I started this new thing. Or, wow, I'm so glad that I ended that relationship. Or whatever that may be. Or, oh, wow, I'm so glad that when I thought that I should leave somewhere and leave the situation, I decided to stay. And so we've been talking about these things and talking about these concepts and these things. But also, in all reality, too, there's also the bad, the things that hurt, the things that are our struggles. And so whatever that may be, yeah, that is still part of your story. And there is grace and there is redemption. And even though those things may be hard to share, you know what they are. It still is part of something to be able to share about the greater cause of who Jesus is and what he continues to do. All right? But for today, we are talking about going. What does that mean? What does that look like? I invite you to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be in the book of Acts, the first chapter, starting with the 6th verse. You can follow along. I know it was on the screen before through our Bible app, and that is a great way to be able to follow the notes, the scripture that is being used, things that you can probably take home as tools as you are preparing through this thing called the story. So Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts is one of my favorite books because, you know, here we had the Gospels before that. We had the life of Jesus and what he has done. And in Acts, we see people like you and I who are receiving this great power given by Jesus to be able to carry out and spread the good news. And so where we see people like us doing the extraordinary. So Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know these times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And when they had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God. So let's just get some context right now of what's going on. Jesus was killed, crucified, 3 days later, rises, is alive, he's amongst his people, he is truly the Messiah. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you know, following the ways of Jesus and following his footsteps, this probably had to be some of the most incredible things that have ever happened, that like you would want to be able to stay with this man, learn everything that he has already talked about, and you know, probably there was probably things earlier before he, you know, died and became alive. They're like, oh, refresh me with that again, because like I truly know that you're the Messiah now, right? And so like it must have been an incredible feeling to be able to be amongst Jesus. And so we know after he was dead and he was alive, he was amongst his followers for quite some time. And finally, he had to leave. And if I were one of them, I would be feeling pretty insecure. I'd be feeling pretty nervous, because Jesus, not only does he rise from the grave, he's also the very first man that can fly, floats up into the sky, you know, saying these words and his followers looking up. And as they were looking up, I'm sure they're just like, crap, how are we going to do this? And Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you power, all right? And one of Jesus' followers, he happened to say this. He asked a question, which was, as he was getting ready to go, lost my spot right here. He said, Lord, when will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Which essentially means, God, when are you going to come back? How are we going to do this without you? This is going to be impossible. Which leads me to my first point of the day as we're talking about what it means when I decided to go. When you go, you will step away from your personal security. Anything that you've been holding on to, any security that you've had, just like how the followers had the security of having Jesus around them with them, you know, they probably thought it was a much better idea to have Jesus around as much as possible, because who wouldn't believe in this living God if he was with them at all times? And they just get to sit back there and give him all the glory and let Jesus do it. And so it really was a leap of faith for those followers of Jesus and those disciples to actually say, okay, it's God's going to work through us now. So you're going to leave that personal security, and that may be very hard and very frustrating. Now, I think it's appropriate, as we're talking about my story, that I share with you a little bit about our story, both Kyrie and myself, and what that looked like as we stepped away and left. So before I came down to Thrive, I was going to school in St. Louis. All right, it was a seminary that was there. It was a very traditional seminary. I really loved it. Loved the people. Loved my friends. I loved my brothers. Learned a lot while I was there. The one thing that I did learn, most importantly, was I was the black sheep. All right, I was different than everyone else. Okay, and I mean, it was really cool to be there. Like, if you go to the seminary, it's a German castle. Like, how cool is that? And like, if you walk into the cafeteria, you think that you're at Hogwarts and you're like dining with Harry Potter. Like, it's incredible. The aura of being there is just like, man, I can't believe I get to study in a place like this. And so, you know, I went to school there, learned a lot there. It's a very traditional seminary. It's very like high church, and there was a lot of liturgy that was going on, and that's just kind of what I grew up in, and that's okay. And I remember like one of my classes, it was our worship class, where we pretty much would demonstrate doing the liturgy in front of our peers, all right? So like I literally had to put a robe on, and it did all the gestures and the sayings, and I would do the singing and the chanting. I got an A, by the way. I was pretty surprised. At the very end of that semester, we received an email saying that you need to be able to be at chapel for this particular day, because we're going to honor you and dedicate you, that you are officially certified to give the liturgy at the church. Like, you know, get the stamp of approval, the cross, go and do it. You know, one of those things. All right, so I didn't read the email thoroughly, so that was my first mistake. And I was going to class that morning before going to chapel. And I was dressed probably something like this, button-up shirt, jeans. This is probably the best I typically look. And I go to class, and I was at my Greek readings class, and my friend, one of my best friends, Ted, he was wearing the same thing. He was not reading his email thoroughly either, and that's okay. And I walk into class, and all my brothers, they're wearing, you know, all black clericals. And I was like, ooh, forgot that memo, you know? And like, I realized at that moment, I'm a black sheep here. Like, I just really don't belong. And I struggled with that. And those were kind of like, that was one story of the many stories where I just felt uncomfortable, felt like, you know, staying there was probably not the right choice. I was getting ready to go on my internship, and then I talked to the dean. I said, listen, my wife and I have been talking about this, praying about this, and here's the deal. Like, I just don't feel it's appropriate for me to continue on. We love Jesus. Don't worry, you know, and we want to be able to serve him and do this kind of stuff, but I feel like the direction that we are going right now is probably not the best. And I told them that, and I remember their response, not only the dean's response, but my parents' response, my family response. It was, Phil, you are ridiculous. You are an idiot. Why would you stop when you have, because basically if you get this degree right here, it's all the security in the world. Financially, you get paid a whole lot more, like a lot more. You know, you basically, if anything happens, you know, they take care of you. There's the security. There's just a lot of security if you have this official paperwork. And they said, why would you even do that? Why would you even consider that? I mean, honestly, I didn't really have much of an answer for them. I don't know. I just don't feel like God's calling us in this direction. Okay. And so that happened. And I remember just people kind of looking down upon us. You know, we were the seminary dropouts as we were leaving that place. Like, how dare you do something like that? So that was pretty hard. And I still, like, to this day, I'm thankful that I went this particular direction, because after that, I had many different conversations with people about ministry and what was next. And then I ran across the idea with some people of planting churches on college campuses. And I said, wow, that would be incredible if I got to do something like that. But that's not going to happen, right? And we were having conversations with those kind of things, starting churches, planting churches, but being on a college campus. I'm serious. I didn't know any church that was involved, like, directly with a college campus. Like, it was just unheard of before. And then lo and behold, this is how God works, right? When you, like, doubt him, he kind of shows you, like, yeah, I'm God, I'm in control. And I get a phone call from this man named John Roth. He said, we're planting this church connected to a college campus. I heard about your story. I'd like to talk more. And so that's basically what that looked like and how we came down here. And guess what? It really took a lot of us to be able to leave the security that we had. Where it just seemed ridiculous for us to do something like this, all right? But I think we were also at a point in our faith, both Kiri and myself, that no matter what, our security wasn't Jesus. It wasn't on a piece of paper. Like, honestly, like, we were at such a sweet spot in our faith. We were like, all right, let's do this, let's go. And I love what Tim Keller has to say. He's a pastor. He says, the security of Jesus' love enables you to need less and love more. The security of Jesus' love enables you to need less and love more. When we have and know that we have security in Jesus rather than our own personal security, it changes everything. Everything. I love the conversations that I get with random people all the time. Because, you know, typically when you meet someone new, you introduce yourself and say, hi, my name is, and then the next question is, well, what do you do? And, you know, I cringe when the question's asked to me, because I know what the people are going to be thinking, because I share them that I help pastor a church, and instantly they'll go, like, white in the face, and they're like, crap, what did I just say in the past 5 minutes that's really going to be offensive to this guy? You know, I see every single time. And I love it, right? I take joy in that. That's really weird. But, like, it's funny. It actually just happened recently. I'm actually helping volunteer coaching over to Estero High School football team. Go Wildcats. All right. And just realized, just plugging in with the community more and more. And I told the coaches, like, hey, want to help out. Just want to be present. And I said, great. You're hired. Like, within 2 minutes, even though they don't know any, if they don't know, if I don't know if anything about football. I mean, they're just assuming, but I do, don't worry. So anyways, they hired me and everything, and I've been working out with these students, and they will say some things that I cannot repeat in a room like this. And so you name it, they said it, you know, it's been said and done. And I don't really go around saying, you know, quiet, you know, because of me. No, I just let it be, whatever, and just shower them with love. You know, I think that's the best thing to do in any situation. That's for all of us. But I remember one of the students this past week was said, hey, man, you know Coach is a pastor, right? And I saw this kid, and again, white in the face. And he's like, he was like debating during his reps, what is he going to say to me? Because like right now, he just feels pretty awful. He goes like, hey Coach, I heard you're a pastor. I love church too, you know? That's like, I'm like, great, Gio, that's awesome. Like, that's cool, dude. And he's like, yeah, I even play the keyboard at my church. Like, I really like church. And I was like, dude, it's okay. It's like, I love you, you know, don't do that anymore. Like, I get it. And it's so funny, right? But again, I just love these kind of conversations with people, right? And then normally it also turns into, after they figure out that I'm a pastor, they're like, well, what kind of church are you at? Like, what is it like? And I know what they're trying to ask me, but I never answer their question appropriately because they want to know, like, you know, what kind of denomination do you flow with? Like, what's the style of your music? Like, how do you dress at church? You know, is your pastor good at preaching? You know, and just those typical things. And I really just, I share with them something completely different. I said, there's a group of people that are just so broken here, but they love Jesus. And their identity and their security is in him. That's the kind of church that I go to. And if you want to join us, come on. It has nothing to do with the music. It has nothing to do with the style of preaching. Yeah, we want to stay truthful to the Word of God. We're not going to flow away from that. You know, the Word of God is living, active, and breathing. Like, get that. But, like, we're a bunch of broken people that, like, our security is in Christ. So, just like those disciples that were looking up there and thinking, crap, how are we going to be able to do this? You might be thinking the same thing. How am I going to be able to go? You don't know me. You don't know my story. You don't know where I've been or how many times I've done it, right? But guess what? He uses people like you and I, and he also gives us power, which leads me to my second point. When you go, you will receive that same power. Okay, that same power that's in you, that's even in you over there. If you want to come up here, that's fine. Don't worry. He's good. The same power that's in you, any of us in this room, it resides in us. It's with us. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. I've given you this power. Now go and be my disciples and do this thing. It's been given to you. It's been given to me. And you're just like, great. I get why you're like, you have a great story, Phil. You know, I love what you do. I love maybe how you communicate, or I love how relational you are with people, or the thing that you're doing for College Campus Ministry. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that John's here. We're glad that Davina's here. We're glad that all the other people are here serving at this church. But, like, my job is just to be here on Sundays, you know, just to give or, you know, whatever it may be, and just go about my week. I'm here to tell you that that same power is in every single one of you right here. I love what my friend Guy Lombardo preached last week, right? He said, I decided to serve. And he brought up his golf bag. And there's many different golf clubs, right? And he said, here's this bag. It represents the church, all right? And each club has a different job. Sure, it may not look the same that what I do and what you do, but I'll tell you what is the same. That same power resides in each and every one of us right here. And if we don't believe it, if we don't believe that Jesus is not joining us in this, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because it resides here. And you know, there's going to be so many different opportunities, and you may be saying, like, there's just no way. not me, it's not possible. So that same power is going to be able to reside in you. And at that point, when you're reflecting back in your story 5 years from now, and you're just like, wow, I can't believe I did that. You know that feeling, right? Like when you're stressing out about something, if it's at work or whatever it may be, and someone asks you to do something, and you're just like, there's no way, it's not possible, I'm freaking out. And then all of a sudden the moment comes, and you're just like, huh, it happened, and it was awesome. Go me. But then you realize it wasn't you. It was the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So if you want to go, you need to realize you get to receive that power, all right? And to my last point, all right? When you go, you just got to do it. Thank you, Nike, right? But you just got to do it. At the very end of this passage, when they were looking up into the sky and they're just thinking again, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? And they're still looking up there. Jesus disappears and they're thinking, okay, is he going to come back already? Because like that's a little bit too long away from my Jesus, you know? And then there's these two guys in white robes that poke at them and said, men of Galilee, what are you doing? This same Jesus that died, like he's alive, and the same way that he went up, he's going to come back again. And essentially, there's these two little angels poking them at the side of saying, you can do it, now go and do it. And sometimes we're going to need that encouragement from the people around us. And sometimes you can, honestly, you need to be poked, but also you may need to be able to poke other people, whether that be our loved ones, our spouses. They may be frustrated with us at first. I'll tell you. When Kyrie tells me something, I'm not really generally too happy about it at first, but then I realize, oh, she's saying something right. And it's probably what Jesus would do, so I should probably follow. And so sometimes we need that little extra poking, right? Just so that we would be able to do it. One of my favorite things when I get a group of guys together and we're talking about discipleship, you know, I'm trying to explain to them why discipleship is so important, like the meaning of it all. And I always come to the Great Commission at the very beginning. And some people think that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, it's probably right around the same time that Jesus is floating up into the sky, right, and flying and doing incredible things. Boy, I wish I could have been there. And he says, in the Great Commission, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All right, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe in all that I've commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. After I read that particular section, I will ask one of them to read verse 21, which is not a verse, all right? And I say, notice that there's no verse 21 that says, and if this doesn't work, if discipleship doesn't work, do this instead. It doesn't say that. Jesus is pretty emphatic in saying, go and baptize, go and make disciples, go and teach. And you know what? You may be feeling pretty insecure about yourself, but guess what? I'm giving you power, and that power that I'm going to be with you that whole time, and you're going to do extraordinary things. So go and just do it. But there are times where we're like, well, let me just look into my calendar. You know, people pull out their phone, right? And in a month from now, I should be free. I can do something like that. I'll have all the time in the world, but we all know what that means. A month from now, your lives all of a sudden become super busy, you know? And we're like, we can't do it because like this and this and this. And Jesus is saying, listen, this is the most important thing. This power is given to you. Go and just do it now. Go and be forever changed. But we struggle with that because like, if we do that, that means maybe that's our personal security is gone. Maybe that's going to hurt us financially. Maybe that's going to cause us to get out of that job that we really don't like, but we're only there because it pays the mortgage and the bills. So I'm just going to wait until the right time comes. Jesus says, go. Do it now. One of my, I don't know if you want to call it a pet peeve, but usually when people come to me and say, hey, Phil, I got this great idea, and I think you'd be the perfect person to do it. I'm like, oh, really? Why? Just because, you know, I help pastor at this church. You know, am I the only one that's capable of, you know, living out the Great Commission? And am I the only one that the power's within me? No. And the challenge usually is, like, I'm usually pretty sarcastic, so I apologize in advance, and I apologize if I've done this to you in the past, but it's just like, what does that look like for you to do that? It's a great idea. I totally believe that. I'm totally on board. But, like, it would be amazing if all of us would come together and we would just, like, hey, God's calling me in this direction, and someone says, okay, go and do it, and God's calling me in this direction, to the point where it's like, you're not going to need people like myself and John. We're just going to work ourselves out of a job, and sure, that's going to create chaos for us, but I think that's what God's trying to get at, like the community of believers coming together just doing extraordinary things. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That it just, the authority doesn't come from up here, but it comes from everyone in here, that people are just saying, God's calling to do it, and then you just do it, and you just go, and we're just sending people out left and right, and someone in here said, well, I think we should go to plant a church, and we're like, go do it, and you know, we help you, we send you out, like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. But instead, like, it just doesn't work out with our schedules or our time. Jesus says, go. There's never a verse 21 that says, and if discipleship doesn't work, try this instead. The command is to go. So what's your story like? What do you want it to look like? Let's not just reflect upon the past, but like, what is this next season going to take you in? What decisions are you going to make? Again, these are not moralistic decisions of being a better person, all right? You know that your security is in Christ, your identity is in Him, and because your identity is in Him, now you're sent out, okay? So what does that look like from this point on? To the point when you leave this place and leave these doors, that like the only thing that is on your heart is like, man, I've been thinking about starting this non-for-profit for such a long time now. And instead of waiting, like, what does it look like just to start doing it now? Well, you know, I'm not finished with school, or I need to make a little bit more money in the bank. Like, do it now. Go. Go. What does your story look like? At the very beginning of this series, John passed out a note card to you all. And on this note card, he challenged you to start writing some of these things down and place it in your Bible, all right? And here were the things I just want to review as we close right now. The first thing was, I decided to start, okay? That you finally decided to just start something, begin something, you know, instead of just waiting. I know this kind of goes with going, but you just said, I'm gonna start it, and we're gonna go with it, and we're gonna roll with it, okay? The other point that we talked about was I decided to stop. So there may be some things, whatever that sin may be, that's holding us back, that's entangling us, you know, that's so hard, you know, like, but where did we finally just say, enough with that, I am done? The next point was, I decided to stay. Guess what? There are going to be times where the going gets tough. And it's easy just to say, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. You know? But there could be some circumstances where it's probably going to be appropriate for us to be able to stay. And then all of a sudden, just amazing things will happen after that. And it happens to a lot of people. last week I decided to serve, and God challenges like, what is it? What are those little things, you know, that God's calling you into? You know, planting those ideas. What does that look like as a church together? And finally, I decided to go. I decided to go, and we talked about it today. Now, here's the other point, too. And I liked what you had to say, Otto, when you were sharing your story, that you knew about Jesus up here. Or maybe you have had thoughts about God, or, you know, it's, you know, Jesus is a good man, or, you know, you know the story, the biblical story, but when are you going to start going right here? Where you know that your identity is in him, and like now this whole Jesus thing is so life-giving, like you're surrendering everything to Jesus and nothing else. What is that going to look like? You maybe just like, man, I've just been doing the same thing time after time. Struggling with the same junk. You know, I feel like I'm in a rut. It's difficult. When you hear the words of Jesus, when you hear the gospel, is it something right here, or is it starting to become head knowledge? So I invite you to go wherever you may be at your story right now. And honestly, if you need to come to talk to me or anyone else about saying, okay, I'm going to do this, all right? And the only way that I'm going to do this is I'm going to talk about it right now. So that way there's accountability so that I would be able to move forward. Or maybe it's like, man, I want to be a follower of God right now. This whole Jesus thing, like I've realized what he has done, like the amazing things of Christ, and he's dead and he's alive. Like I want to live my faith out right now. And if you need to talk to someone, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go and do it right now. Wherever you may be serving, let's go. It's easy to be able to look up in the sky and just say, man, I just hope something changes soon. And that's where you're going to need to be poked by the side. Say, let's go. Let's do this. Let's disciple. Let's make a difference in this community, in this world, for the name of Jesus. And not just as this church, but with many other churches, giving glory to God. Amen? Let's pray.